Well, shalom again, everybody. I'm Bill Cloud, and welcome to our next installment of Hebrew Treasures. In this teaching, we're going to be dealing with the next word of Bereshit 1:1 or Genesis 1:1, and that word is Shemayim. Of course, again, Genesis 1:1 says, Bereshit bara Elohim et ha-shamayim ve-et ha-aretz. Now, in Genesis 1, the term ha-shamayim, or the heavens, is technically two words. The ha, or the he, is the definite article. And so, if we remove that, then we're left with the word shamayim, which is, again, translated the heavens, which that's also the same word that we see in Psalm 119, verse 89, which says this, Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Now, what this particular passage is understood to be saying is more than just a poetic statement, that it is, in fact, the word of God that not only brought the heavens into existence, but is also what sustains Shemayim, what it sustains the heavens. And so a rabbinic commentary on this particular verse suggests that were the word of God to be removed from the heavens, that the heavens would implode upon itself and cease to exist. And so this word, Shemayim, is applying to the things that are in the atmosphere and those things that we would consider to be outer space. Now, the root word of Shemayim is a word pronounced Shema. It's spelled Shin Mem He. And this word is translated as meaning by a couple of different lexicons being lofty, something that is up high, something that is, in the air, in the atmosphere. But there's another very interesting definition that's also given to this root word Shema, Shin Mem He, once again, and that is to identify. So it's as if to say that the heavens, Shemayim, coming from the root word Shema, is to identify the Creator. When we look into the heavens, it should provoke us to seek for the Creator. That's the idea behind this root term meaning identify. As a matter of fact, we read in Psalm 19, beginning at verse 1, it says, The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night shows knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In other words, this is just saying that the Creator is identified by those things that exist in the heavens, and those things that exist in the heavens declare the identity of its Creator. The writer of Hebrews says basically the same thing, but a different way, because the writer of Hebrews in chapter 11, verse 3, to paraphrase, says that everything that exists in the universe is made of things or made of something that we do not see. In other words, everything that's visible is made from something that is invisible, and that which is invisible, that which created the heavens and the earth, is the Word of God. So again, everything that we look out into the heavens and we see, it is to remind us of something that we do not see, and that is the Word of God, because forever, O Lord, your Word is settled in heaven. That is what sustains the heavens. That is what caused the heavens to come into existence. That is what declares your glory as well. So when we look at these things in the heavens, again, that is to provoke us, from the Creator's point of view anyhow, it is to provoke us to seek for Him. It is how He identifies Himself, because the vastness of the universe is beyond our comprehension. So too, the Creator is infinite, and He's beyond our ability to accurately and thoroughly describe Him, define Him. We can't put Him in a box. It defies our finite intelligence. So that concept or idea brings us to another family word that is related to the root word Shema, Shin Mem He, and that's a word that's pronounced very similarly It's pronounced Shema, and it's spelled Shin Mem Ayin. But Shin Mem Ayin means to listen. Here's an example of where this particular word is used. Many of you are familiar with it. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, which says, "Hear, O Israel, Shema Yisrael, the Lord our God is one Lord." And so linked to the physical heavens is the concept of when you look, it should provoke you to want to know who's behind this. It's those things that we can observe by looking. It identifies the Creator. But it also hints at, in the word Shema, Shin Mem Ayin, that not only do we look at these things, but we should analyze these things, because seeing something, in an instant you form a picture in your mind of what it is you're seeing. But when you listen to something, when you hear, it's not so quick. You have to analyze. You have to kind of process it. For instance, if 10 people saw a traffic accident, there's a very good chance that the traffic cop would get 5 or 6, maybe even 10 different accounts, slightly different from the others, of what happened. But once he takes all this information and he analyzes it, he just heard, he wasn't there to see it, he's just listened. And so now he processes that, he analyzes that. That gives him, probably more than anyone else, a clearer picture of what actually happened. And so to kind of tie all this together, again, relating this to the heavens, the Shemayim, that which identifies the Creator, it's not just through what we observe with our eyes, even though that's a very important aspect, but those things that we observe with our eyes is to provoke us to seek for those invisible things, His invisible attributes. And when we process this, when we think upon these things, when we meditate upon these things, in the end we see that the heavens declare His glory, the heavens, as one component of His creation, brings us to the realization that our God is one, that He is the Creator of all, and that He is Echad. Now that word Echad, or one, like some other phrases that we've looked at in Hebrew, implies a multifaceted unity. I'll say that again. Echad implies being multifaceted. For instance, we look at the heavens and the word Shemayim, and we see one. We see one atmosphere. We see one outer space, if I can. Those probably terrible English, but you understand what I'm trying to say. But actually, the word Shemayim is plural. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So it's literally plural. And yet, when we look at it, we only see one. We only see the atmosphere. We only see outer space beyond our atmosphere. It appears to us from our point of view as one, and yet it's multifaceted. Again, the word Shemayim is literally plural, heavens. So, interestingly, Paul refers to being, or someone being caught up unto the third heaven. That was in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The rabbinic belief is that there are actually at least 7 heavens. Yet, again, from our point of view, we're only seeing one. Now, why is this important? Because the heavens declare His glory. The heavens are infinite. The heavens, the space, the universe, the cosmos, these things, once again, are beyond our ability to comprehend fully, to accurately and thoroughly describe them. We'll search a lifetime and still come up short when it comes to understanding the complexity of the universe. Well, what does that tell us? If we listen very closely, if we, you know, Shema, and if we observe, it identifies something about the Creator, that He too is infinite. In fact, as vast and as complex as the universe is, the Creator transcends that. So all of this is to say, what I'm trying to say anyway, is that the word Shemayim being plural is indicative of the Creator. in that he is multifaceted. We can't put him in a box. He is one. There's none beside him. That's true. But when we say echad, that doesn't mean that we can just have one dimension of him and understand all there is to understand about him. No, he's infinite. He's limitless. And so Shemayim, being plural, hints at this. Like the word or term Elohim. We've talked about that before. Elohim is masculine plural. Some people read into that that means there's one, two, three gods. No, there's one God. But he is fathomless. He's infinite. We can't comprehend all there is to comprehend about him. So it only makes sense then, if the heavens are going to declare his glory, if the heavens identify him, as it were, then it's going to identify him as the infinite one, the one who is pluralistic in the sense that he's beyond our comprehension to completely and accurately define. I hope this is all making sense to you here. Now, there's another interesting word about, another interesting component about the word Shemayim, and that is its phonetic relationship to the word for waters, or Mayim, which, by the way, is also plural. In other words, in the word Shemayim, or heavens, is the word for water, Mayim, Mem, Yud, Mem. Now, we shouldn't be surprised at this because in Genesis chapter 1, verse 6, we see that the Creator established the firmament to divide the waters above from the waters below. The waters below being those that are in our atmosphere, those that are within our ability to perceive and to see. The waters above the firmament, of course, are beyond our atmosphere. And that tells us that somewhere out there in space, there is water. Now, whether it looks like a stream of water like we see here on the earth, I won't say, I don't know. But the scripture tells us that there are waters. In fact, many years ago, I read an article about the fact that cosmologists had found that there were traces of water in outer space. Well, again, that shouldn't come as a surprise to us because in the very beginning, he established the firmament to divide the waters above from the waters below. So just to kind of accentuate the point here, if we take the word Shemayim, Shin, Mem, Yud, Mem, now the Shin is going to be separated from the other word, and that leaves us with Mayim. Mem, Yud, Mem. Now the word Shemayim also hints at the very least, two elements being present in the heavens, Shemayim, and that is Esh, or fire, and again, Mayim, water. Esh, the word for fire, is spelled Aleph, Shin. And of course, again, the word Mayim means waters. So when you think of the universe and you look out into the cosmos, again, if there were traces of water found by cosmologists years ago, then where does the fire come in? Well, you look out into outer space and you have countless balls of fire, stars, suns, these kinds of things. You have fire and you have water, Mayim, working together in harmony. To do what? To identify the Creator. To, if we listen and if we pay careful attention, to see Him and hear Him and to come to understand that He is the one and only God. He is the Creator through what He has placed in the heavens. Now, going back to Hebrews chapter 11, again, we understand by faith that it was the Word of God that framed the worlds or created the heavens and the earth. And everything that we see in the universe, in the cosmos, in the heavens, actually consists of something we don't see. And that we do not see is the Word of God. Well, interestingly, the Creator refers to His Word as being like fire. We can see that in Jeremiah. His word is likened unto water. So both of these elements that we see in the word Shemayim, Esh, fire, Mayim, water, we see that these have a relationship to His Word. His Word is His fire. We are renewed by the washing of the water of the Word. And that only makes sense since it is His Word that brought the heavens into existence. So I think it's fascinating to find these things, how they attempt, anyway, to define our Father, and they allude to the Creator and His characteristics and His nature, but more importantly, His Word, how it is like Elohim, that title that we are introduced to Him as, that title that implies His being infinite, that there is no end to Him, that's limitless. Well, that's true for the heavens, but it's true for His Word. It only makes sense. If His Word is what brought the heavens into existence, then His Word is limitless. His Word is infinite. We'll spend a lifetime searching through His Word, trying to understand it better. But at the end of the day, we have to come to the realization that it's beyond our finite intelligence to completely and thoroughly and accurately understand every component of His Word, just like we will never in this lifetime completely and accurately understand everything there is to know about the Creator. And most likely in this lifetime, we'll never be able to completely and accurately understand the complexities of the universe, because the universe, the heavens, is that the Creator uses to bring us to the realization that He is one, that He is the one who spoke the heavens into existence. And if we can't even comprehend that fully, then how are we going to comprehend Him fully? Which then brings us to this point. It was the Word of God that brought the heavens into existence. But the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And why? Because John says, "And we beheld His glory, full of grace and truth." In other words, when we behold the Messiah, the Word made flesh, then we begin the process of accurately and maybe not completely, but more efficiently understanding our Creator. Not everything there is to know about Him, but those things that we really need to know. When we see the Messiah, we see the Father, Yeshua said, because He and the Father are echad. They are one. Here's this multifaceted oneness being portrayed for us in the Messiah, Yeshua. And so again, and when we look upon Him, then we begin to understand better our Father. You know, cosmologists teach us that the vast majority of the universe is comprised of what they call dark energy. And the reason it's called dark energy, well, first of all, everything in the cosmos reduces to energy. That's biblically accurate. But they call it dark energy because they can't see it. It's invisible to them. We know that this dark energy is the same thing that the writer of Hebrews told us brought the heavens into existence. That is the Word of God. And again, he says that everything we see in the universe is comprised of something we can't see, Word of God. Well, cosmologists refer to it as dark energy. But here's my point. That dark energy is equivalent to the Word of God. But the Word became flesh. Why? That we might behold His glory. You see, the heavens declare His glory. But we don't have to look into the cosmos to necessarily, anyway, to understand the Creator. When we read and we look upon the Messiah, and when we come into a relationship with the Messiah, then we can truly see the heart of our Creator, the heart of the Father. So, you know, these are concepts that we could spend hours and hours talking about, and I could just kind of blabber on here, but at some point we have to bring these little sessions to an end. So I guess I'll bring this one to an end. But just to kind of quickly recap the word Shemayim, literally heavens, coming from the root word shema, to identify, but also related to the word shema, to listen, to hear. And what are we to hear? That our God is one, and that one God who is invisible manifest himself to us in the Son, the Word made flesh, that we might behold, if I can use this term, identify his glory. Well, thanks for joining me again on Hebrew Treasures. We'll be back with the word Haaretz next. See you then. Bye-bye.
Like what you're hearing? Become a Bill Cloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BillCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.